and welcome to Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. I'm your host, Andrew Heaton, and I'm wearing a belt and suspenders. That's how committed I am to never, ever dropping my pants on camera. In fact, we've got lead shielding in the desk I'm seated at, so if you're at home trying to x-ray the monitor, good luck, pervert. You're not going to see anything at all. Hey, it's Friday. We're going to do a Friday release valve. That means that I'm going to bring on a comedian buddy of mine. We're going to kick around some of the lesser attended stories from the week. Before we do that, though, I have a treat for me, maybe. A friend of mine and listener of the program, Kyle Webb, contacted me recently to point out that he could, in fact, produce a bottle of carbonated scotch, which was one of our sponsors a fortnight ago. And I said I would drink it on camera, not thinking that Kyle would actually make such a thing. And then he called my bluff. So, Kyle, very much appreciate you in general, as a friend, for your service, listening to the program, and creating carbonated scotch for me, which my hands are too sweaty. Oh, okay, wait. All right. Here we are. It's less dramatic than I thought. Okay. Yeah, that's so good. Thanks, Kyle. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Those bubbles really add a lot to the whiskey. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's just like a old Celtic god hanged himself in front of me. Thank you. Ugh. All right. Okay. Let's get on with the program. Something's Off with Andrew Heaton is brought to you by the waterproof guitar from Aquatic Acoustics. Do you like playing guitar? Do you like doing it in the shower or the hot tub? Then strum a little on a waterproof guitar. You're the captain of a starship, and a giant alien flashlight has just entered the solar system, and it's going to kill everyone on Earth unless it can chat with some humpback whales. Well, that's problematic. You know that whales were hunted to extinction way back in the 21st century. Nobody on your ship speaks whale. You try and fool the giant alien flashlight by shaving some buffaloes and throwing them in the Pacific, but it's just not good enough. So the Earth is screwed, which is just great, because you just purchased a timeshare in Vancouver, which in retrospect probably wasn't a very good financial investment, but it's done, so you're committed to it. And, of course, billions of people are going to die on the Earth, too. Really, this big alien flashlight is a headache for everyone. And that's why you slingshot your starship around the sun at warp speed. And by doing so, fling yourself back to the 1980s with incredible precision, which for some reason no one else in the franchise will ever bother doing again. Now you've cloaked your starship and left it in a San Francisco park, then methodically befriended and probably seduced a blonde woman who works at the San Francisco Aquarium while your officers get into a series of wacky hijinks. Finally, you beam the two humpback whales onto your ship and slingshot back around the sun to return to the 23rd century. You blow the hatch on the ship and let George and Gracie swim out into the Pacific. But they won't sing. Sing, damn you. You whales, sing through your blowholes to the big alien flashlight. Make them leave. But the whales just won't sing. You grab Bones and Spock and get them to perform a rousing rendition of Row, Row, Row Your Boat to no avail. You ask Uhura to stand on a rubber dinghy and perform a fan dance while singing an otherworldly song. The whales are unmoved. You get Scotty to play Scotland the Brave on his bagpipes, but the whales just float there, blinking at you insolently. You ask Chekhov to bang out a ditty on his balalaika, but then you realize you accidentally left him behind in 1986. Whoops. And that's when you come up with a brilliant idea. Spock, hand me my waterproof guitar. You dive into the briny ocean, swim down 10 feet, and then you play. You play guitar for the whales. You play guitar for humanity. You play Freebird. That's when an amazing thing happens. The whales sing. They sing Freebird in whale speak. Well, that's all the big alien flashlight needed to hear. It packs up its glowing orb and flies away. That's when Spock puts a hand on your shoulder and says, "Captain, did you know that Gracie the whale is pregnant?" Looks like you should have used a condom. But at least you had that waterproof guitar. Well done for that. Waterproof guitars from Aquatic Acoustics are not only good for playing tunes in the shower, thunderstorms, or adding some melodies to a squirt gun fight, they also sound terrific underwater. Father's Day is coming up. Did your dad used to be in a band? Does he like scuba diving? Well, in that case, he would love a waterproof guitar. Waterproof guitars from Aquatic Acoustics. Play yourself a moist melody. Back today by popular demand is comedian Jaron Myers. Jaron, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
How did your show in Texas go?
It was really good.
Didn't you like get stranded someplace and have to drive 9 hours? I read that in the tabloids.
Oh, I did wake up on the day of a show in Dallas, and so the news of my flight had got canceled. Mm-hmm. And so I had like 9 hours to get there, and it's an 8.5 hour drive. So I went and rented a car and then drove down.
Wow. Okay.
I wasn't going to miss the show.
You were a man committed to comedy. And I respect that. A lot of people in that situation, Jaron, they would have given up and taken up woodworking. You didn't. You rented a car and you did your job.
You know, and I think those people can afford to miss a gig and still pay their bill. I'm not that person.
You're not at the point right now where you're turning down $100,000 gigs just because you want to spend more time with your family. You're doing what you can.
Yeah. I'm just hanging on, man.
Yeah, that's I'll tip the deck. There have been several times in my career where I've been contacted by an organization or a club, and they'll hire me for doing stand up someplace. And then we'll be in negotiations, and the person will sit down and be like,
yeah.
"Hey, like, we really think you're funny. We really respect you. We can only pay you $200 to do this." And then I have to pretend like I'm like, "Well, you know, I like the cut of your jib, Bob. I'll go ahead and take this one on the chin." because in New York, I was paying people money to practice jokes on stage. That's how inverted the market is. So, yeah.
Yep.
Do you know what also has a pretty miserable market, Jaron?
Where's that?
Venezuela, which is the site for the first headline we're going to go over today. In Venezuela, In Venezuela, economic crisis is now so bad that criminals can't afford to buy bullets. So, you know what? Well done, socialism. Socialism, one benefit to it is crime goes away because there's nothing to steal and no bullets to steal it with. So that is an unforeseen benefit to it. It's one of those systems that heroically overcomes problems that don't exist in any other system. Kudos to you, socialism. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's interesting that this is where the criminals draw the lines with their morals, where they're like, you know what, we'll shoot some people, but we're not going to steal bullets. Okay, like, that's too far, all right?
Yeah, you never steal a man's bullets.
Money for those things.
Yeah. See, what I'm thinking that we're going to do is I'm thinking about creating a nonprofit called the Heaton Institute for Unsuspicious Activity. And I think it'll be a think tank, and it'll be a charity, but also we'll probably do some money laundering as well, hence the unsuspicious activity.
Absolutely.
And what I'm thinking
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, what I think we're going to first do is, if you're interested in helping, I'm going to put this outfit together, and you can send me money and bullets, and I will send them to deserving criminals in Venezuela. That way we can help them out during this time of crisis.
You know, I can't tell you how much I can give to that. I will tell you that
every bullet helps.
Can do a stand-up show. I can do a stand-up show for considerably less than my rate. if that would help.
You and I could go down there and we could probably do a stand-up show for 30 or 40 million bolivars or whatever they have. Like, we would come back with duffel bags full of worthless paper.
Here we go, guys. We brought it back, feeding the family literal paper. They have to eat the paper.
I'm trying to think if I've so. done, have I done st- yeah, I've done stand-up in a communist country because I did it in China before, although China's at least, like, I don't want to say I like that government, but it seems to have a better economy than Venezuela does.
You did stand up in China?
I did. I've done it. Yeah, I did it. I've been to China a couple times, and over the summer, this last summer, so about a year ago, Turner Sparks, who's another frequent guest on this program, another comedian, he was involved with an outfit called Kung Fu Comedy Club out there, and they put on the China International Stand-Up Comedy Festival and invited me out. And I was already going to be in Asia for unrelated and completely legal reasons. And so I went, yeah, I'll go ahead. I'll do that. I'll swing by that. So I went and did stand-up and got to finals, which is good for a dude who doesn't speak Mandarin. The first round was good, which much to the credit of the Chinese and English teachers audience, it was kind of half and half. They like picked up on all of my, I was worried that a lot of the jokes wouldn't land, and they did fine. But then I kind of flattened out when like we got to the finals round, and I'd already blown all of my awesome jokes. So I was just doing jokes about like,
yeah,
man, sure is hard to grow muscles at 30. Wow, sleep's not as good, right? Like that. Apparently, I guess Chinese people age a lot better than we do. And so it just didn't land at all. And so I got flushed out in the final round. But it was still fun.
That's all right. That's fine. I've only done comedy in like Canada. I was going to say Alabama, but it feels like a hacky joke to make fun of a state, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. You could do that. Yeah. Or, you know, yeah. I'll put in a good word with you with the commies if you want, if you're over there.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me know if you're in another, like I really enjoy doing stand up in other countries because you get a feel for what works and what doesn't work. Like I've done it in, China, Cambodia, Taiwan and Germany. I'm sure I'm missing something there.
Yeah.
But like Germany, like surprisingly, like went surprisingly well. Like German people I find are just pretty happy. So it's like it's not very aggressive. Whereas like the Scots are like, be funnier. And like they'll throw stuff at you. Like there's much more of a dance monkey element over there. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. Let's stay in Asia and go to the next headline. North Korea launches its own whiskey. So there's some tour company that operates out of China, but they specialize in going to kind of dangerous places, or at least places that would make your parents uncomfortable if you went there. And they did a trip to North Korea and came back with a prototype bottle of North Korean whiskey, which I have to think is terrible. I cannot fathom that it's good. Like
I'm imagining.
Yeah. They're modeling it after Johnny Walker, which. I know that there's if you look at the Venn diagram of the show, there is a significant portion of the show that's just Scotch connoisseurs that disagree with me on everything but Scotch. So for those listening about that, green label,
well,
blue label, good.
For me as
red label, no thank you.
As the Christian comedian who I think drinking wine at Olive Garden is like a risky move. All right, so break it down for me and make this English.
Right. Okay. Cool. So. So Scotch is a subset of whiskey, and in my opinion, the best kind of it. It's like
typically carbonated, right?
No. Although, because I stand by all of my sponsors, I have to say that the carbonated whiskey that I was drinking earlier is truly stunning. And just as the advertisement says, it's like the Scotch is screaming. Scotch, kind of peaty, all that kind of stuff. If it's not from Scotland, it's whiskey. There's different forms of whiskey. Whiskey, if it's made in like Kentucky's bourbon. If it's on Ireland, it's Irish whiskey. The Japanese make great whiskey. They basically make Scotch. The Japanese bought Scotch distilleries and then replicated them down to like the rust stains and would like pay a guy to get drunk and stand in the right corner. Like they nailed it. The Japanese have done it, knocked it out of the park. I have grave doubts about North Korea's ability to do the same thing. I think that it will basically taste like I'd try it because I've tried some foul stuff in my life. And I suspect that it will taste like, this is my guess, paint thinner with a little bit of grass taste and some old rusty bolts in it. That's my prediction.
Now, that could be the option. Or the other option is maybe this is why they're so closed off.
They just have really good, Scotch. They don't want to, or really good whiskey. They don't want to share with anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. They're like, you know what? Shut the borders down. No one else can have this. We figured it out.
Here's what we'll do. Will everybody turn your lights off at night so it looks like we don't have electricity? Don't let them know about our teleportation system and our hoverboards. We don't want to share it with the rest of the world. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. We're getting on their list right now just for talking about this.
I know you're a Christian comedian. You do a lot of churches. Are you, and you're considerably younger than I am too. Like, I don't even know if you're, are you of age to drink?
Yes, I'm 25.
You're 25. Yeah. What is the grossest drink you've ever had? And perhaps you've not, I don't know.
You know, I'm not a big fan of, like, Bloody Marys, like, with the vegetables and stuff. I don't understand those. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, my girlfriend is a big, like, try different things kind of person. And I am just a big, like, I like Blue Moon, you know? So I usually stick to the same stuff, but she makes me try a bunch of stuff. I did have, like, a there's like this fancy restaurant in Kansas City that tries to be, you know, their cocktails are like, we make them here. And it's kind of like, well, how about we just do the normal stuff? Because this is not good.
This is so wholesome. I really like this. This is nice. You're like, you know, I tried an ale one time. Oh, it was a dark day for old Jaron Myers trying that ale. Yeah.
You know, just really branching out.
Yeah, I
So,
just, I was, I'll tell you, the, settle back for a second because I'm going to tell you the tale of the nastiest liquor that I've ever had, which was this summer. It was,
okay, good.
it was while I was in Asia before I went to China for the festival or for the comedy competition. I was in Vietnam and I went to Lamat Snake Village, which it, like everybody grows snakes and eats snakes and things. It's like their thing going back hundreds of years. And
Oh,
my
good.
the cab took me. Yeah, great, right? We're off to a great start. And the cab took
This
me,
sounds like
but
exactly where I don't want to go.
Hey, I'm gonna go to a communist country, then go to the snake district. That seems like the best point of action to do here. Yeah, so I went to the snake district to Lamat Village, and the cab took me to a restaurant called the Hung Snake, which would also be a good name for a gay bar, but is in fact just a name for the
Yeah,
restaurant.
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone listening immediately was like, gay bar. But no, it's just it's a snake restaurant, and this I sit down. I'm the only person there. This 80-year-old guy that had assiduously avoided any semblance of English over the course of his life, which is fine. It's his country. I don't expect him to speak English, but we had to communicate through an app and stuff. I was like, I want to order. I've heard that you
Oh,
can
good.
order snake here, and he's like, yeah. So he brings out this snake and he shows it. You know how like if you go to a nice Italian restaurant or a French restaurant, like they'll bring you the bottle to show you the bottle. And you're like, oh,
Yeah.
Merlot, yeah, that's I've correctly
You're like,
identified Merlot.
wow.
He did that, like he brought out a snake to me, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed like, am I supposed to check it for
For like an
legs?
actual snake.
Yeah,
Like
oh
he
no,
brought it
like
and
a
was like, is
living,
this
confused but very pissed off snake. Like a very angry snake that he's got by the throat. And he's showing it to me, and I'm like, I guess I'm making sure that this is not a counterfeit snake. Like it looks like a real snake to me. Good job. And he's like, okay. So he ushers me to go back with him to another room, and he's got a few shot glasses set up, and he just whacks the snake across a desk as hard as he can and brains the thing. And I'm kind of already startled by this. And then this is going to get gruesome, guys. This is going to get kind of nasty for folks at home. He opens it up and he pulls its guts out like spaghetti with some, I assume, discount surgical tools. And then he milks it. He milked snake bile out of it, and he poured the snake bile. He got a bottle of plastic. Something like some kind of hooch, right? Generally speaking, for any listeners, if you're getting liquor out of a plastic jug, it's probably not very good. So he's got like plastic jug Vietnamese rocket fuel, and he pours it into a shot glass, and then he milks the snake so that green bile comes out. You would think that Vietnamese moonshine would overpower the taste of snake bile, and you are 100% wrong. You can taste the snake
Oh
bile. You can
no.
taste the moonshine. It's amazing I'm not blind. But it was an
It's
experience.
incredible to me that you watched that happen and you were like, in no point in this. Did you change your mind halfway through?
No, I went, you know, I'm fairly adventurous with this kind of stuff. And like the other thing too is like
Oh man.
I've eaten like not even with communists. I've eaten two beating rattlesnake hearts in my home state of Oklahoma because I've been to a couple of rattlesnake derbies. So like I've got like a little bit of
Oh dude.
I've got some exoticism to me. No, I was there. I was like, I'll
I
go ahead
am
and press
gonna
through this.
live. I'm gonna live so much longer than you. Holy cow, that's awful, dude. Now, I will say though, I was thinking alcoholic drinks earlier. This is the grossest one I've ever tried. Is have you seen those sodas that are like ranch dressing flavored?
What?
Oh, dude, there's I think it's Jones Soda has like ranch dressing flavor. There's a peanut butter and jelly flavor. Now, the ranch dressing almost made me puke.
Okay,
Like just the
peanut butter and
smell of
jelly,
it.
I'm intrigued by. Ranch
No, because
flavored.
you can taste the bread, dude. Oh, it's so bad. That's
What?
the stuff. That's the stuff that, like, we did at, like, youth camp.
Yeah,
man.
What sociopath is over there at Jones? I don't. If that guy's listening,
that's
please
gross,
don't add
man.
Snakes to your disgusting beverages. That sounds absolutely. Ranch and snake might be the worst thing that could ever exist in this and any other universe. So hopefully it won't happen. Ugh. All right. All right. Let's move on. We're gonna go south from North Korea to the Philippines, where President Duterte says he once was gay, but I cured myself. So if you're not familiar with Duterte is like a murderous psychopath, from what I can gather. Whenever you read a headline with Duterte, he's usually like either killing people or threatening to kill people. He's like, from what I can tell, like anything that that like really intense control freaks hated in the 80s, he hates even more and also has a military. So that's Duterte, and he came out the other day, and like he's I guess they still have elections over there, which is good. And the guy he's running against, he basically goes, that guy's gay, and I used to be gay, but the difference is I cured myself, and now I'm a real man. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute.
Oh.
I don't think that's how that works. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like, and he like he met his wife, which like hats off to her if she was that overpowering, but I don't feel like it's. You know, I don't think it's a thing to be cured, nor a thing you can cure.
You know, I'm curious. I think this is just him setting up for his book launch in the fall, probably. You know, just he's gonna go on his little self-help journey thing. I'm curious. I want to know what he says that he did to cure himself, if there is a thing.
Oh, also, yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't really go through the steps.
Yeah. That's kind of like when someone's like, yeah, I got a girlfriend, but they're in a different place. It's like, I used to be this, but I cured it. It's like, all right, well, you didn't really tell us anything about it.
Well, yeah, and it kind of like...
this guy is a psychopath.
Yeah, it kind of like reveals some dimensions to him that I don't think we'd previously like quite recognized were there. Like in the 90s, like
right.
if there were a... If there were a congressman that was super anti-gay in the 90s, like by the late 90s, you're like, that guy's going to have sex with another gay guy in a bathroom at some point. And then it would happen.
Sure.
Like it happened all over the place.
Hiding it.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, the reason that guy is so vociferous about that is because he is one and it bothers him. And I look at Duterte and I'm like, this explains a lot. Like, dude, just, you know, open up. Be cool with it, man. Like, calm down. Go to the hung snake, whatever the equivalent is over there. Like, get yourself a nice boyfriend and, like, calm down.
There was something I saw about him that he, like, kissed five women at a public event, right?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. What was
it? There was an event where he like, kissed, like, five different women like on stage at a public event and just, like, went for it, planted them on it. And if that's overcompensation, then, if that's not, I don't know what is, you know?
Well, and then, like, also, like, that kind of raises some questions about how the women felt. Because if, like, let's say in theory that I'm in Russia and Putin is like, I want to put my tongue in your mouth. I'd be like, I don't want to do that, but also you might kill me, right? So, like,
you also have a military, so.
Yeah, so, like, it made me feel bad. Castro, which, by the way, like, it amazed me that there were, I'm just gonna rant for a second, Jerry, and I apologize about this. But when
That's
Castro
okay.
died, all these mouth-breathing morons came out of the woodwork to talk about how great Castro had been. And, like, Castro was a monster. He was a murderous monster, even if you take communism outside
Agreed.
Of it. And one of the other things he would do is, for years, he would have guys with machine guns go to the beach, pick up a woman, and go, the president would like to meet you. And then he'd have sex with them. And it's like, you know, like, possible that every single woman was into that? Kind of doubt it. Think he was a murderous rapist and a terrible human being. Oh, this got so dark. I'm so sorry. That is not the point of Friday release valves. It's not for me to drink carbonated scotch and rant about communism and then get sad.
I think we are leaving out the group of women that are turned on by machine guns, though. and that's very few, but I'm sure they're out there.
I actually know several women like that now that I'm in Texas, so that's okay. We'll leave that story on a brighter note.
Is that who you're hanging around? Okay.
Yeah. No, women in Texas are awesome. They're like, you don't mess with them. Like, they don't get mad at you. They're like, don't talk to me that way. I'll hit you with my car. Like, they're very, like, women in Texas are super empowering. They're awesome.
Woo.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I like Texas women. All right. We'll go back to America. In Kansas... a new law bans sex between police officers and people they detain, which...
Oh!
Why was this even an issue? Why was this ever a possibility?
Yeah.
Like, I like obviously here, and I don't want to get dark in this. You're in a compromised position if you're in the back of a police car, right?
Right.
You're not in a position of power if you have been actively detained by a policeman. So that in and of itself is creepy. But let's say
yeah.
that's just completely aside. I, as a taxpayer, don't want police having sex while they're on the clock. Don't do that. Go find some burglars and stuff. Wait till you're off the clock before you do that. I don't think I'm allowed to do that. I haven't checked, but I'm fairly confident I would get in trouble. If, like, I was just like, you know what, I'm going to take an hour and a half here at the Blaze and engage in various activities. No, I'd at least have to wait till after 5.
Now, I have seen this because they've used it as a loophole to say that the people that they've been having sex with on duty is a consensual act. They're doing all these things, and then they're saying, well, it's not illegal, you know, and it was consensual. And I mean, I guess that still that leaves out the group of people who are turned on by machine guns. But that just feels like that shit. But that's still legal in how many different states?
It's rare for me to encourage the growth of human resources departments. I tend to not be a big HR proponent. However, I'm going to say that like that seems like a pretty good place for HR departments to step up their game. Is just like, look, if you're a police officer, you're not allowed to have sex on duty. There you go. Or with anybody in jail.
Yeah, I mean,
that too. No sex in jail.
I rent at a podcast studio, and in our agreement, that was in our agreement for the podcast studio. And you tell me that wasn't in the agreement for the police?
That's.
Oh, no, man.
That raises some questions about the podcast studio that you're at and, like, what previously happened. That makes me wonder what the backstory. Because that means that either something happened or someone thought about doing something. One of the, like, because that's very forward thinking.
You know, there were also handcuffs in the studio.
You know what? Like, you shouldn't detain people in podcasts. There too. We're going to jump back to Russia and get away from icky issues and just back to me ranting about communism without any sex involved whatsoever. Disappointed Russian communists demand apology and reshoot of the Game of Thrones finale. So there still is a communist party in Russia. For people that are unfamiliar with the way Russian politics works, Putin has banned any party that might actually thwart. I think it's Russia First, I believe, is the name of the party. And he's not technically in it because he's above it, but he rather likes them, right? So if you're an actual competitive party, he bans you. So the only parties left are the Russian Lawn Gnome Party and the communists because they're not in power, right? But they're still around. They're still a Russian Communist Party. They're like the third party or fourth party of Russia, effectively. And they were mad because... I think like all of us, like no one was really thrilled with the Game of Thrones conclusion, but they wanted Game of Thrones to walk away with the lesson of how terrible monarchs are. And they thought that it was inappropriate that the Game of Thrones writers had not illustrated the horrors of monarchy. And I fully support the commies on this one. If they can convince the Game of Thrones writers and actors to reshoot it, and let the commies write it, I would love to see that. I think it would be a lot of fun. What I would do, if we were going to make a communist version, is they kill the queen, they kill all the lords, then just mass starvation. Everyone in Westeros starves, and they run out of swords. They don't even have swords anymore. So it's just a bunch of starving people punching each other, and that's the communist end to Game of Thrones.
Well, they can't even afford the swords.
Exactly, right. They run out of swords. They're having to, like, mime swords and things.
I'm glad that there are people calling attention to the issues that matter.
That's
all right. I've seen some petitions online of people saying that they want the whole thing redone. And it makes sense. I mean, like, I can see, you know, people have given 7 years of their 8 years of their life now.
Yeah, it's my longest relationship is that show.
Well, and I was going to say, here's what this is always how I end relationships anyway, because I have never broken up with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I always...
So you just keep adding women? Like, you have, like, 8 girlfriends simultaneously?
No, that would be...
a hassle with the old schedule, wouldn't it? That'd be, like, that sounds kind of cool, but also a little exhausting.
No, I always just, what I end up doing is I become the worst boyfriend until they want to break up with me.
Wait, intentionally? So like, you just passive-aggressive your way out of the relationship?
Yeah, I season 8 of Game of Thrones myself is what I do. Like, I am such a good boyfriend for 7 seasons. And then that 8th season rolls around, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to be in this anymore. And so I'm just the worst until she's like, you know what? I want something different.
Yeah, you've got so, you see another girlfriend on the horizon, and you're like, you know, rather than really sticking this one out, I'm just gonna wrap this up and make weird emotional plot choices that don't fit with the rest of what I've been up to.
It really makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm supposed to be the smart guy. I'm not the smart guy anymore. Yeah. Nice. Did you watch Game of Thrones, by the way?
I didn't. My girlfriend does. She was really into it.
Okay.
And so she was also upset with the way that the ending has happened.
Yeah. Okay. I won't.
I'm pretty wholesome.
That's true.
So I stick to my Chronicles of Narnia.
Well, good. Good for you. And you've never even drank snake bile. You're very wholesome.
I'm over here on a different spectrum, man.
Yeah. Okay. In New Hampshire, man treated for rabies after being bitten by bat hiding in iPad case. So it's an 86-year-old man.
Oh.
He was using his iPad, and a bat jumped out and bit him, and it had rabies. And I think this is the hipster version of Dracula. I think that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is the 21st century version of Bram Stoker. Or Stoker. I'm not sure how
it
is.
And now he's walking around with black turtlenecks and glasses that aren't prescription.
Yeah, he's got three scarves.
Every day.
Three scarves. He rides a unicycle. He juggles. He's got a ukulele. Yeah. Oh, man. I hate this Dracula so much. I can't, like, I would watch it and hate it at the same time.
Yep. This is who he's become, man.
Yeah. All right. Finally.
Don't you remember when Apple used to make good products and didn't have bats hanging out inside of them?
Yeah. Come on. Back when Steve Jobs was doing it, you never got bit by a bat. That wasn't a thing.
Right.
I mean, maybe with a PC, but you knew what you were getting into.
Right. Right. I guess it's a small bat then, right?
Or a very flat bat? I don't know.
I was going to say, when I read that, it feels like you should notice that in the case.
Well, I mean, like all sane people check all of my electronics for bats whenever I open them up. I'm like, let's just be careful.
Right.
I'm opening up the mainframe. Want to see if there's any bats in it? No. Okay, let's start playing with the guts of the computer.
Awful.
Well, speaking of rodents, we got a final story, Jaron. In San Francisco, rats roam freely at this pop-up bar. So it's if you're in San Francisco, I don't think it's open very long. It's like maybe a week in June or something like that. But it's a bar where you pay admission. You pay like $45 up front. And there are rats that are hanging out of the bar and running around. And that's the appeal, is you're paying extra to hang out with rats. And I look at this and I'm like, I think maybe one of the most genius businessmen in San Francisco was like, we can either pay a lot of money to get rid of these rats and risk getting the health department on our back, or we can pretend like this was the plan the whole time and charge admission, and that guy should be the next mayor of San Francisco. Or lady.
Okay, so, all right, hold on. So this is a lot like these cat bars that pop up. Have you seen the cat? Like,
no.
Where you can just go in and hang out with cats.
Oh, great. I can be judged while I drink by animals that crap in a box. Terrific. That sounds like a great time. Oh, God.
Now, so
then
these
if you're ever on a date with me and I invite you to a cat bar, that means I'm breaking up with you. That's what's happening. I'm not inviting you to a cat bar for good purposes.
Well, that means I'm trying to get you to break up with me.
I'm gonna Jaron Myers you into breaking up with me by taking you to a cat bar.
Hey, baby, I got hot plans tonight. So these are rats that they bring these rats to this place, or they're just the rats that are there?
According to the PR, these are like clean domesticated rats, which, you know, I've got a good friend of mine lives in Portishead, England, that she's like a big fan of rats and says they're actually very, very clean animals and pets and things. She likes them. I'm not that gung ho yet. I've got enough kind of like innate fear of bubonic plague rattling around inside of me. You know, I'll eat snake bile, but I won't go to a bar with rats in it. That's just a step too far.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. I'll drink the snake vial, but I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat with the snake's food. You know, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But I am looking at the. I'm looking at this article, and the picture shows a rat drinking out of one of the drinks on the table.
Ugh.
See, that is just, that's a big no from me. I'm not okay with that at all.
This is what I think this is. This is the point in the relationship where you are desperate for anything to add some spice to it. You're like, do we get into a relationship with like three other people simultaneously and form like a five-way couple?
Or
do we go to a rat bar and just desperately hope we can infuse some interest into this joyless union?
Also, this is in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do the people who live in San Francisco just have so much money that they'll literally go to anything at this point?
Maybe that's it. Maybe this is, you know, like every once we hear about late stage capitalism, like, Jared, yeah. we got rats in bars. The people are paying to see. We got old dudes getting bit by bats with iPads. Like maybe we were okay. Yeah. Maybe we should go more North Korea on this. Start making weird whiskey.
We've gone too far.
We've gone too far.
Go.
Bullets, food, and money are plentiful. We could go the other direction.
Yeah. Well, 1 in 11,000 people in San Francisco is a billionaire.
Wait, what?
1 in every 11,000 people in San Francisco is a billionaire. I read that in an article the other day.
Really?
So, yes. And so, like, and I just looked up, there was another article about, like, there was a studio space. It's like a studio space, not even like a one bedroom. It was $4,700 a month.
Okay. So, wow. All right. Well, at least there's nobody that's like, you know, preachy about rich people in San Francisco. I mean, at least that's not a thing. Right. That'd be irritating if it were the case.
Well,
but
the fact that they're dropping $50 to go hang out with some rats, you know, that's poor San Francisco quality stuff. Like they're just like $50. Oh, I would never go to a bar with that low of a cup of charge.
Yeah,
you know, that place has got to be crawling with rats.
You know what? I can't top that. Jaron, we're going to end it on that note. That's great. Hey, it's awesome to have you back, man. If people, I find you funny. If listeners of the program find
you
funny,
Andrew,
where can they go to get more of your humor? I followed you on Twitter for one thing.
Absolutely. Oh, perfect. All my social media is just Jaron Myers, JaronMyers. We're launching a lot of really fun stuff on my YouTube this fall that we're working on right now. So I'm really excited for that. So follow along and get plugged in.
Awesome, man. Thanks. And come on again.
Thanks so much, Andrew. I'll talk to you later.
Little bit of listener feedback to wrap up the week. On YouTube, L. Idlet says, waterproof guitars worked for my bride. She even taught our half-mermaid daughter to play one, so one day she too can find a prince. Nice callback. Thank you very much. Also, did you guys know we sell merch? That's right. If you go to shop.theblaze.com, you can buy t-shirts for Jillian's Rooster Removal, Nick's Horseless Diner, Uncle Milton's Caffeinated Crab Dip, Bigfoot for Congress, and of course, my favorite diner and yours, Snuffy's. Now, I don't think if you buy one of these shirts that I get a cut of the profit. That's not why I'm pushing it. But if you tweet me a picture of you wearing a shirt, absolutely make my day. You'll warm the cockles of my heart. That said, let me read a comment left by listener Sarah Wellen yesterday. Sarah says, I've got a nursing home full of large and in-charge grannies here who would love to send in those pictures you requested. You know the ones. Where can you mail those pictures? Also, the grannies want to challenge you to identify the tattoos in their photo for what the original artwork was and where the item used to be on their bodies. If you get 8 to 10 correct, they'll buy one of your books. So on Monday, I think, or Tuesday this week, I was like, hey, like, send me a picture of you in the T-shirt, or don't send a picture of you in the T-shirt. Send it topless. And that has just backfired across the 100%. Tuesday, I started making jokes about these middle-aged guys sending me pictures of themselves topless, and then they actually did. It really happened, Craig. And now there's grannies involved. So just buy the shirts. Just buy the shirts and wear them like a normal person. All right. You can watch this whole show on YouTube. If you look for Something's Off with Andrew Heaton, you can see my handsome bearded face, an assortment of suits, and the dead buffalo head we screwed to the wall. Watching Something's Off with Andrew Heaton on your computer or phone isn't enough anymore, damn it. From here on out, I strongly recommend you find a way to watch this show on your smartwatch as well. So go to YouTube and start watching full episodes, or else. Also, I look like wherever I'm going, I won't need roads. Remember, you can always tweet me at Mighty Heaton, or Facebook me at facebook.com/MightyHeaton, or even email me by subscribing to my newsletter at MightyHeaton.com and just replying when I send it out on Fridays. Will I do it today? I don't know yet. We'll see. Finally, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Didn't you learn a lot about communism and snake bile today? Don't you want to spread that? Well, rate and review us. That helps other people discover this here political orphanage. Thank you, and good day. Thank you.